Hello, Headstrong Podcast. Welcome back to another episode. I am your host, Nick Comedina, and I'm just going to dive right into it today because I am so excited for this episode. I am here with two of the most divine feminine women that I know and have in my life, Miss Abandon Bucci and Miss Jack Wimmer. I am so happy to have you guys here. And so I'm just going to let them give you guys a quick intro, real quick. Jax, I'll start with you since you were just recently on an episode of this podcast. So if you just want to give us another spark notes, real quick. For somebody who hasn't.
Hi guys. Again, Jack Swimmer. I help run a seven-figure brand with my husband, Jeremy Griffin. He goes by Jay Griff. We help our students reach generational wealth, teaching them how to live and operate like the 1%. Love it.
That's
Love
about
it.
it. Amanda?
Hello, everyone. I've also been on the podcast, and FYI, I have lost my voice, so I don't normally sound like this, but it's kind of fun. So my name is Amanda Pucci. I teach entrepreneurs how to grow their businesses through the lens of authenticity. So I teach a lot about identity work and nervous system and building a personal brand all through the lens of authenticity. I'm the author of the book Followed, and I've been in a relationship with my now husband for 5 years. We're married for 1 year, so I know we're bringing relationships into that as well. So just context-wise.
For those of you who don't know, my name is Nick. I'm single.
Not looking, right? I feel like all the women
Yeah, applications in the bio of the show notes.
are.
Yeah, so really the reason that this podcast even was started in the first place was I had put a question box on my story, and somebody had asked about how you balance work, life, relationships, dating, et cetera, as somebody who wants to build a successful business. Jax and Amanda had both reached out about us talking
We
about
nominated ourselves.
it, nominated themselves. And so here we are. And I'm actually so excited for this conversation because everybody has very similar, yet such a different life experience right now. And so I think the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to hear from every person here and just talking about really what it means to build a successful business. What that looks like, the sacrifices that come to it, and kind of the promises that you need to make for yourself. So I actually spike that to Amanda first, and then we can obviously just let the conversation form around that.
Yeah, I love that. I've been in business for myself for 10 years now, going on 10 years, and it's a journey, it's a roller coaster, just like everybody says. But in terms of what it actually takes, I think that when you first get started, it's really challenging to fully comprehend what it takes because you have so much unconscious incompetence with all of the things that has to have to happen inside of a business. So you get on the journey and then you start thinking, okay, content an offer, and you start off with maybe something small or maybe an offer that you think you can deliver, and you don't really realize what all goes into making an incredible offer that people actually buy, what all goes into building a brand, and how much either content you have to create or value you have to create or skill you have to develop to lead or actually deliver the offer that you have. If you have a product business, you might need to learn about the development of actually creating the product. If you have a coaching business, you have to actually get the skills of becoming a coach. So I think the journey to what, let me get this right, because it's a little bit of a tongue twister, to unconscious competence, where you move through the skills and the phases of business, you have to go through the skill of marketing, leadership, communication, nervous system regulation, product development, market research, ideal client, like all of the things that actually make a business run. It's a skill development game. And it's also a game of meeting every single part of yourself that is scared to take responsibility for it and is living in fear and doesn't think that you can do it or doesn't think that you're worthy of doing it. So it's both a deeply spiritual journey and a highly practical journey of skill building.
I love that. Yeah,
That
I'm
was like beautifully laid
in
out.
a
I
nutshell.
actually with nothing left for me to say at this point. No, That's incredible.
I was gonna touch on the different aspects of the parts of you that you meet when you get into business and when you start business. It's, I think in the beginning for me, it was, oh, it's gonna be easy. I'm gonna just step into it and people are really gonna like me and they're gonna pay me because they really like me. And it was like as that simpleton inside of me that really had to get broken down. And basically it was the most intense shadow work I've ever done, because I started meeting aspects of myself that I've never met before. Because previously, as an employee, I worked as a nurse for 15 years. I was told when to go to work, at what time to go to work, when I could take my lunch break. So it was a whole different era that I had to step into, where yes, I had all this free time on my hands, but then I had to figure out what to do with that time. So there was so many aspects of meeting myself and these details that have come out and come forth. And it's really a journey of, I think it's a journey of meeting yourself deeper and continuously changing your business with everything that Amanda shared from start to finish. And that is a journey that evolves over time. So everything that she shares, it's not just like a one-time thing that happens. That's a journey that continues to unfold every single year and every minute that you have in business.
Something that I want to take from what you said there, Jax, is that, you know, you went from, and I feel like a lot of people can resonate this with this, is coming from a place where you have all of this structure given to you by somebody else that you're working for, mm-hmm. and then going into entrepreneurship and then essentially being overwhelmed by having time without structure.
Yes.
And a lot of times people go in and there's like this initial rebellion phase that I've recognized in newer students, where they're like, I'm an entrepreneur, I work for myself, I can do whatever I want. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. And it's like, I've told you what to do 17 times. Why aren't you doing it? And then, which is interesting, is the more time they have, the less things they get done. And that's because without structure, freedom doesn't exist. Without structure, we have chaos. And when we have chaos, we're overwhelmed. And when we're overwhelmed, we don't make decisions. So I'm curious how you guys navigated that initial overwhelm, maybe into entrepreneurship of, and I know, Amanda, you kind of went more of like an influencer route, so that's an even more interesting perspective to have on this. But having that overwhelm initially of all this time without any structure, and how long did it take for you to recognize, oh, I actually need to write things down and do those things in order for me to be successful?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I'll start with a little bit of my intro story. So like you said, I started off as an influencer. I think I had an opposite experience. So Jax, I don't know if you knew this. I went to nursing school. I never actually became a nurse. Yeah, I graduated from nursing school. I moved to California and then I became an influencer. I didn't pass the
Smart
nursing
move.
Boards. And then I decided to totally let it go, because I had been making money online. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. So I had that just kind of academic rigor inside of me already. I was like used to in college, just a lot of test taking, a lot of studying. I was the girl that everybody got the notes from in class, because I would go to all the 8 a.m. classes and I would study on the weekends. I was like a nerd like that. So in moving into social media content, that was more what I did before I got into business officially. But I made YouTube videos every single day. I was vlogging. I have 450 videos on my now kind of dead YouTube channel. It's still there. But I was vlogging and making videos. So I just learned really quickly, okay, I have to make, here's the video that I get to make, and then here's the content. And I started doing fitness coaching, which was all email based. So my days were get up, go to the gym, film content, do emails. And I was also not dating at the time. Between 21 and 23 years old, I dated nobody. I was like fairly celibate that whole time. I was just really in the business building. So I grew my audience really quickly, because in that phase, that's pretty much all I was focusing on. So one of the points of chaos that I found, that first point of chaos, was something that a lot of people go through, is overworking myself and too much work, not really having a break, not having that part of me that's like, oh, I have to really rest and take time off of work and make sure that I have cycles of like going on vacation and this and that. There was always a lot of high stress, always a lot of a go, 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 you know, that hustle energy. So getting into that first low point of that situation was hitting my first moment of burnout. So I scaled my business. I grew my fitness business, ended up saying, you know what, I actually don't want to do fitness, pivoted into business, grew my business to 7 figures, had a team. It was a lot, because I already had a large audience that I had dedicated a lot, like 2-3 years to building. That was the only thing I did. So the first couple of products that I sold, I had a big influx, which is not the typical experience a lot of people have. But the thing that I learned from that that I really try to impart on my students all the time is you have to integrate because it will overwhelm you. It will, if you go too fast, if you try to grow too fast and get to the result too quickly, your body's going to communicate with you, hey, I'm going to give you a whole little spiritual awakening on honoring your body. And that's what happened.
The forced feminine season that you it puts
Oh
you
yeah.
in because your body's like screaming at you, but you're doing so much that you're not connected with your body to even listen to it. That is, yeah, I see that all the time in within entrepreneurs, within my friends, within my husband. I think just being able to take a moment and check in with yourself and realize like, okay, stress is normal. Obviously, as an entrepreneur, you're going to feel stress. It's on you at that point, right? There's no one really taking the reins but you. And if you don't listen to your body and actually take that time apart, doesn't mean that you have to stop doing business, but if you don't have these like integral feminine seasons, then it's going to force you into a season. And I see that all the time, all the time. That's why like this conversation's I think going to be so helpful for so many people because there's such a way to balance where you don't have to wait for that forceful season to come into your life. You can actually like set up your life where it is balanced, where you're still getting shit done and you're having these like moments or pockets of self-care.
Beautifully said. A few things I want to point out from Amanda's dialogue there is, you were basically a hardcore influencer, I'll say, right? Like
Hardcore.
all in. But I mean, like your output was extremely high. I mean, making a YouTube video every day, most people think that that's like, oh, point the camera,
A lot.
shoot, upload, and it is absolutely not.
Right. I have no other life,
I mean,
FYI.
it really is nonstop work. And so you did that for 3 years before making the new offer. So you would.
Before, so technically I had my money, my revenue was coming from sponsorships and brand deals, like six figures in sponsorships and brand deals. And then
Damn.
I had a six figure coaching, fitness coaching business, which was all email based. I did like a couple challenges, but that was before I pivoted into business coaching. And then my first business coaching offer, I sold like a 90 day start your business program for $5,000. And I got 30 people in the first round,
And so
which was a lot. It was very high volume.
my thing behind this is that you were building your personal brand for 3 years. And so because you built yourself and like
Correct.
and I use the term built very seriously because you built that. You didn't just lay around and wait for something to happen. And because you had put in so much work for 3 years, when you were able to release a brand new business for, a fairly low ticket price as far as the industry standard goes for business coaching, you crushed it because you already had that personal brand built. Your audience trusted you. Most people are trying to launch things before they've even done that for 3 months. And that's a huge, huge obstacle for so many entrepreneurs. We have this Amazon Prime lifestyle where, what do you mean? I just said that I was offering this coaching. Nobody signed up. I guess I'm not made for this. I'm like, nobody even knew that you talked until yesterday.
But I put it
That's a
out.
great way to
Should
say.
why aren't they buying? It's like, it doesn't work like that.
No, there's like a big misconception on how energetics actually work. We have this consumption or this preconceived notion that I'm very excited to do this. I want to start coaching people. And so therefore, here it is, world, but nobody's signing up. The algorithm hates me.
And they always blame it on the algorithm.
And you're not taking time to provide value. You're not taking time to establish people seeing you consistently in their day-to-day life. You're not a part of somebody's day-to-day life. You ask anybody, what's the most famous sandwich at McDonald's? They're probably going to tell you a McGriddle or a McChicken, something with Mick at the end of it, because you see it every day. You walk out, you see it on billboards, you see it on television, you see it on park benches. McDonald's understands, hey, the more you see us, the more you're going to recognize our brand, the more that you trust us.
I always used to say too, when I was first teaching, I don't do YouTube anymore and I took a break from my podcast, but I'm getting back to it, is when I would teach people, here's how I built this audience. My audience of like 50, 60,000 people, three, four, five times a week were watching, spending 15 to 30 minutes with me multiple times a week. That's like 2 hours a week just hanging out with me, listening to me talk. Do you think your one Instagram post that people spend 2 minutes reading is really gonna cut it?
If or sw or like swiping past because they're not, there's no trust in that. So I think offering that like consistency and value and like, this is me world, and throwing yourself out there is one, it's the most authentic thing you can do, because you're putting yourself up against like critics and haters and people that love you and adore you, of course, as well. But you really have to be up against everyone.
And I think a lot of things that people don't understand is a lot of people will not show up publicly in fear of the haters and the critics, but you actually have to get through the sea of critics in order to get through to the people that you're desiring to help. And so a big part of, like Amanda said, like that big shadow work that comes with entrepreneurship. I mean, entrepreneurship is probably one of the most spiritually challenging paths in this world that you can take. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that, because I mean, if you look at the business coaching space, it's very number driven. It's very automated. It's very, you know, send these DMs, here's the script, and you'll scale a business. Nothing to talk about nervous system regulation or, you know, who you are and all of these things that pop up for you, because it's not very marketable. One, I'm like, hey, I'll give you a year program, but you're going to want to die for 9 months of it, and then you'll feel good for 1 month, and then you'll want to die for another 9 months. Yeah. What car do you want to put on file? It's not super effective. And so I'm curious, when it comes to meeting that shadow, as we know, the shadow gets darker the higher you go. And I think a lot of times people meet their shadow once, overcome it, and then it comes back again. And that's when they throw in the towel, because they get in this stance of, well, I thought I was healed. I'm broken. I thought I already took this. It keeps coming back. What do you do? So Jax, what do you do?
I think for me, when I put myself out there to receive whatever is coming my way, it gets to basically be a mirror for me to reflect back of, do I have more work to do? In the sense of, if a comment triggers me, if someone says something that's like mean and it's hurtful and it triggers me, it's like, okay, I have more work to do, because that shouldn't bother me. If I'm really showing up in the most authentic expression that I have, and I'm really here to serve others, which that's what a part of our brand is, then someone's negative comment towards me shouldn't affect me. But we have egos and we're human, and unfortunately that happens. So it's really honoring that you have the feeling, honoring that, okay, that hurt my feelings, or okay, that knocked me a little bit. What can I continue to do? I'm going to continue to show up, because my mission's more important than someone's hiding behind a whatever wall to like send this comment to me. So I think it's important to understand like your mission and value should come first over worrying about what other people think of you.
Amanda,
I love that. Yeah, I mean, really similar. I think you'll hear this from so many people that have been through, I'm not sure, Jax, if you've been through any kind of like big public criticism. I know Nick has, I have. And
no, never.
No, never. No, never, never, never. I think that you'll hear this from every single person, is having those experiences and learning how to get through them makes you so much more powerful. Because like you said, Jax, it shows you the places inside of yourself that you take it personally. And if you do take it personally, the question then becomes, can I handle that emotional experience? Can I handle all of those sensations? And as a person that's been through it, there was a period of time where I didn't know how to handle it. It was extremely overwhelming. Some would say traumatizing. Some would feel, and if you've even felt for yourself, I'm scared to go through that because I don't know if I can handle it. That's where nervous system regulation really comes in. And when you start to learn how to receive a sensation and be like, all right, I'm going to feel my emotion. I'm going to process through it. I'm going to unpack it for myself. I'm going to find the support that I need to process this. And then I'm going to find a way to let go of the judgments that I am receiving that I think are true. Or if there's actually truth to it, for example, which is sometimes when it can hurt, if there's actually truth to something and maybe we don't know who we are, maybe we don't have an answer, maybe we're scared, maybe we had a perspective that we were missing, maybe we're not being in full integrity with ourselves, and it kind of hits, that's just going to make you more powerful. So I love the phrase turning shit into gold, and just being able to understand that the shit that will inherently, inevitably come from those situations, from putting yourself out there, from being like fully convicted in your message, whether it's relationships, sex, money, health, fitness, when you're in your full authentic expression, it's going to hit people who aren't fully in whatever way for them. So that's what's happening. That's often what's happening is we're all just mirroring and reflecting all of that to each other. So when you can figure out what's mine and what's not mine, and then take responsibility for it, it frees you.
Something I want to like touch on really quickly is something that helped me before I like put myself out there was I would take myself to moments of like, okay, you put something out here and someone says something terrible to you. And I would literally like meditate and allow that comment to come in. I would think of like the most horrendous thing that someone could say to me. And I would like feel that comment. I would allow myself to feel. And then I would go, okay, what would I do? And it was like, I'd like write something out and it would be like a passive aggressive thing. And then I'd delete it and I'd be like, no, that's egoic. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna heart it. And it's like, that's passive aggressive too, because you're like, you're acknowledging what they said. And it's like, no, I would literally send them love. Literally, not fake love. Like literally, I would send them love, because for someone to get to that point, that low state, to send something to a stranger that they really don't know, where I know I'm showing up in my most authentic expression. What is their life like? So that was like a really helpful tool for me earlier on. And sometimes I still like do that. I'll take myself there because I mean, people are mean. People will comment whatever they want to comment. It's a lot fewer and far be in between now, but still happens. They feel safe behind their like keyboard of like, I'm gonna ruin this girl today. And it's like, you did for a moment, but I'm good and I'm gonna be okay and I'm gonna continue to show up.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing with that for anybody listening, I think, is really exercising empathy. And empathy is a muscle that we have to train. And empathy is really nothing more than me being able to put myself in somebody else's shoes and see the world from their view without any of my views, thoughts, or biases at all, which is very difficult to do, which is why it's a muscle that we train. And so I always say that when we are walking the path of an entrepreneur, and like Amanda said, you're very convicted in your truth and your authenticity. If you really boil it down, your mission is kind of to trigger people. That's kind of like part of the path that you've chosen by showing up authentically. And people will get either triggered into an evolution or they get triggered into a fence. That's on them. Our goal is to trigger our people into an evolution. Like, the trigger is that snap. Oh, there's truth to that. But then there's also the other side of fuck, there's truth to that. And so if I'm triggered in a truth that Amanda's sharing, and that truth is threatening the way that I have chosen to see the world my entire life, and this is going to be a great segue, I think, to go into relationships here, because if we're posting things that go against everything that I've come to believe as right, true, and I see somebody else living the opposite of that or preaching the opposite of that, that makes me feel super unsafe. And so instead of me opening my mind and having empathy and saying, maybe there's a different way to experience life outside of the way that I've chosen to live it, we want to try to make that person challenging our truth as bad, as wrong, as evil as possible, because it's significantly easier to hate something than it is to understand something. So I think with that, this is a great segue into what does it mean to build a relationship, and also maybe building a relationship in public eye on socials. And so, Amanda, just I think obviously this baton goes to you, just with the what I just said about kind of like threatening people's views of reality.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about
Very
it.
much so. Great, great, great question. In terms of building a relationship and in the public eye, I've done both. So when I first started dating my now husband, John, it was going to be about time when I had to officially post that we were in a relationship. So John and I were both in like the fitness business space. He's a little older than me, so he was in like email Facebook land, and I was in YouTube Instagram land, and our communities didn't really know each other that well, but we were in the similar circles. And he had been publicly polyamorous on his social media for a while. So when we first started dating, I knew about it. I knew what I was getting into. I did not have any history of betrayal trauma. I came in with a lot of privilege with men. I have an incredible dad, really incredible male figures in my life. And I had a lot of open-mindedness within myself of maybe this could work for me too. I didn't have experience, but I was extremely open-minded. And John and I fell in love really quickly. And I knew, I had been making content online for 5 years at that point, and it was going to be about time that I had to post here. I'm in this relationship. And the moment that I posted about being in the relationship, I knew people were going to make assumptions, and I was like, this is going to be a whole thing. So I wrote an article. I wrote an article called "So I'm in a Polyamorous Relationship." It's on my website. I was like, this is going to be so confusing for people because no one in my community had ever known that I was interested in that. It wasn't really a topic of conversation like it is in the media now. There's like a couple of media articles about it. There's a couple of like TV shows with polyamory relationships, but that wasn't the case 5 years ago. It was still taboo. It's still extremely taboo. So I made this post, and to this day, it has like 1,300 comments on it. And it was this massive social experiment to see so many people. Some people I knew, they were like, cool, amazing, glad you're happy. This is really interesting. I want to learn more. And then there were people in the fitness industry, in the business industry, commenting like, I don't agree. People made podcast episodes about it, like slandering us. People were commenting, I can't wait for this relationship to blow up in your face. It's never going to last. Like, all these things. So here I am, not only trying to figure this out for myself if it was right for me, but trying to do that in front of all of these people. So my process for deciding when it was time for me to share was on like a personal relationship level. Him and I were figuring out, okay, how do we build this? He had already come to a place in his life where he knew he had been through so many things, struggled with mental health, depression, suicide attempts, cheating in his past relationships, coming clean and being honest about it, taking responsibility, like really in his healing mode and deciding like, this is who I am. This is not a phase for me. This is who I am. And I was like, okay, I don't know if it's who I am, but I'm willing to do the work to figure it out. So for us, polyamory was like this element of our relationship that accelerated the healing process, I think, and made it really, really potent. So I talk about this season of our relationship where I was in therapy, I was doing somatic therapy. I also very serendipitously, with timing, went to this spiritual psychology program that was a 300-hour life coaching certification where we were doing experiential learning and healing. So I was getting like therapy and healing in my like things that I was committing to for myself. And we were also like up late having multiple hour-long conversations, just like unpacking, how do we do this? What is this for you? What is this for me? What does it mean if we, if you flirt with someone, or what if you fall in love with someone, or what's the structure of that need to look like? And what do we do if we cross each other's boundaries? And just figuring out, I can't even describe the level of detail that we went. Like I kind of describe it as like I fell into the polyamory deep end. And in that, I learned like I needed to learn incredible, excellent communication. I needed to understand all of like my subconscious, my emotions, emotional language, energetics. I really started to learn more about nervous system, what my body was saying, and unpacking compulsory monogamy culture, which is really just the societal understanding of like everyone does monogamy and it's wrong if you do anything else. So really just unpacking, is it really wrong, or is it really something that we can choose for ourselves and find ways to make it work? So my decision to make that post on a personal level and a professional level, I had to get to the point where I said, this is a decision I'm making for myself. No, I don't have all the answers, but yes, I am dedicated to this path and this decision, and I am being authentic here. And this is who I am. And I'm not telling you I have every answer yet, but I'm telling you I'm figuring it out.
How is it? Because I mean, obviously, I'm very close with you and John, and I see how incredible your relationship is. I obviously love you two very much,
Love
but
you too.
thank you. And I know to a degree how it feels like to have people watching you because they want to watch you fail, and so I
Yeah.
feel like you guys really have so many people who are clearly ignorant and don't understand anything outside of themselves. But how is it feeling as if there are so many people just like watching, waiting for you guys to fail?
I mean, we kind of laugh because we're like, haha, we're not gonna fail. We're like, no, we really got to the I think what most people are looking for in relationships is finding secure attachment. We're looking for to be securely attached. We're looking to feel that sense of connection of can I trust myself and can I trust you to be fully honest in your authenticity and to trust that we're committed to moving along a path in life where we're going to be committed to not just staying together, but being devoted to both individual truth and unity equally. And that is a very difficult thing to find, and it's something that we've found. So we laugh, and like the thing is, if we do end up breaking up at some point in our relationship, it will be super amicable. It will be because it is authentically true for the both of us. It won't be because we fucked up or polyamory doesn't work or someone's gonna hurt each other. We've seen each other's shadows. We've seen each other's deepest wounds. We've seen each other's like darkest stuff, and we've helped each other heal through it. So we know more about each other than I think most people end up finding. And I think in terms of feeling people that want us to fail, that still hurts. It's still difficult to be misunderstood and to be misconstrued. And to have people who witness our beautiful love and say, that is super wrong. Like, disgust. Like, some people, they're disgusted. They think it's terrible. They think it's unholy, ungodly. They think it's immoral. They think it's immature and they don't get it. And I have just had to come to accept that there is going to be a level of misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding is going to come from people that haven't walked the path of finding secure attachment themselves. There's so many like incredible friends that I have and people that are single, people that are monogamous that are like, I see you too. I don't want it for myself, but like, I see you too doing the work. And that's amazing. Or like, I don't have to understand it, but like, I feel your integrity. I feel your heart. So I think when you're walking the path, you can feel, you can sense because you can have more discernment about yourself and about other people.
I'm glad you said that, and now I want to spike it to Jax, because like if I truly had to be asked like who are the two like unions that I idolize the most, it is truly both of you on this call, right? Well, not like you two together cumulatively, right? Like
Who
you and
knows? No, I'm just kidding.
whoa, this podcast
I'm just
got this episode.
kidding.
Jax has come out on the podcast live. Holy
Thanks for
shit.
introducing me and Jax.
Holy shit. Okay.
It just felt like a
I
perfect
will
little
say this podcast has got
that
new
will be
numbers now.
clipped.
It's
That
got
will
new
totally be
numbers.
that
It's
will
got
be on
new
Reddit.
numbers.
Now they're in the polyamory
Who's
cult.
Jax Wimmer and what
Yeah.
or her and Amanda have seen together?
But really, you two both have just such conscious relationships that I really just admire above all else. Obviously, I love both of you. Obviously, I love both of your partners indefinitely. But Jax, I would love to hear from you what the path has been getting into your and Jeremy's union.
Yeah. First of all, Amanda, thank you for sharing. I know you're up against so many different opinions. And like what I see is like when people don't understand, they just have to project because it doesn't feel safe for them to go take themselves there. And when I was introduced to you years ago, I was for sure triggered, for sure triggered. But
Yeah.
I come from an
Makes
abandonment,
sense.
people, men cheating on me, rejection. I come from a tough background when it comes to men in my life. So that
Right.
makes sense, right? And then it's like the more I saw you evolve with John, the more I'm like, okay, that's not for me, but like you can't deny the authenticity when you're expressing yourself. Like I don't know anyone that can hear this if truth recognizes truth and I can hear just straight truth of me. So I just wanted to like validate and acknowledge you. Not that you need it, but just
Thank you,
from
darling.
someone from a different standpoint, again, not for me, but I do not care what anyone does. Love, like love who you want to love and receive what you want to receive. So mine, obviously, my relationship's a little di different. I was married prior to meeting Jeremy. So I was in a 9-year relationship. I had a child with him and basically had my spiritual awakening and realized like, okay, this isn't it. And I actually like had a download the other day where I wouldn't have done the healing work if I didn't leave that relationship because he was, I call him my wasbin. I don't even like calling him my ex because it's so like negative. Like that ex sounds so negative, and he was a great guy. We never fought in 9 years, if that tells you anything. To me, it's like you really can't go to the depths with someone if you're not discovering anything. So if you're not fighting, if you're not going there, you're not going to discover who you are. And I remember having this like realization with him one day. I'm like sitting there and I was like, something like an angst, like an existential angst came over me. And it was really like, this is going to be your life until you die. And it was like this feeling of like, no, like I know there's more. And I didn't really understand it. I wasn't conscious by any means at that point, but I knew I had to walk away from that relationship to find myself. And that just kind of spiraled me into like a year of self-discovery, which was dark, it was light, it was everything in between. And then I met Jeremy. And when I met Jeremy, he was living with his mom. I was living off of my husband's alimony. So we were kind of just like, I remember he came to me one day and he was like, "Are you okay that I live with my mom?" I'm like, "Sure. Are you okay that I am still getting alimony from my still husband?" Because we were still married at the time, because we didn't do the full cutting yet. And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, that works for me." And it was about 3 years until we stopped trying to change each other. For those first 3 years, it was really just like ego battle. And it was just, how can I get my needs met but by manipulating you? And we just went into this like these patterns and these cycles. And it wasn't until we had like a really bad fight. And I remember just being like, and I'm usually the one that gets left. I went to him and I was like, I can't move forward in this relationship unless and until we heal this. Like, I am so over these dynamics. I'm so over this, the replaying of the egoic manipulations that we were bringing forth to each other. I was like, we need to make a change. And I basically like called him forward and I said, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm calling you forward. Are you going to accept it? Or am I, because I knew I didn't leave a 9 year relationship to be in these patterns. I knew that like that relationship wasn't right, but how we were in relationship wasn't right either. And I knew there was something to, I hate to say like achieve, but ultimately the human being experience is really like, in my opinion, like unraveling all of the trauma, all of the wounds, and coming into conscious union with another person or multiple people, whatever that looks like for you. And we really came to that decision at that time of like, okay, we need to do deeper work. We were already doing like separate work, but it was like we need to do deeper work together. And that was like what transformed us moving forward. And we stopped forcing each other to be something we weren't. Like he was trying to get me to be like this hyper masculine woman that was like a boss babe and this, that, and the other. And I'm really inherently feminine. And I wanted him to be not more, I hate to say more feminine, but I wanted him to be like, oh, just sit and listen to me. And I'm just gonna
Softer.
like, it was so yes, more feminine in nature. And I think there's a balance. And when we realized we allowed each other to fall into like the inherent polarity that that feels right for us, we really just like fell in love with each other and unpacked all of the wounds and unpacked all of the dynamics and patterns that we were stuck in for so long. And it's been a fucking journey. It's been a journey. And I see so many of my friends that like leave a relationship at the first sign of challenges or trouble. They're like, oh, red flag, I'm out. And I'm like, damn, really? I'm like, you think you're
It's
gonna
when it
find
gets
someone?
started.
You think you're gonna find someone that's perfect that doesn't trigger you? First of all, how boring would that be? Really? Like, oh,
Boring.
life's, you wake up and you're like, life's great. Like, let's, it's like that would be
Nothing to do.
absolutely terrible if you had life like that. So I enjoy the journey and I enjoy the challenges and what it's turned into because we chose to work together to get to this point.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, what both of you have built in your lives is truly incredible from like a love relationship standpoint, and even just like a life standpoint. You guys are great. You guys are,
You too. Thanks,
yeah.
Nick. You
Thanks.
as
Good
well.
job, everybody. Yeah,
Now
we're doing awesome.
let's teach people how to do it.
Yeah, so I guess like my position of this that I'll add is obviously I am single. And in like the successful entrepreneur road, still trying to build my business and everything like that. And so, you know, for me, and everybody on my podcast knows my relationship history. You know, I was with a woman a few years ago, and I did think I was going to marry her. I bought a ring and everything, and it just, it didn't work out well. And that
For the
really,
story, reach out to Reddit and you'll find out the
yeah.
story.
Will you ever? But while in that relationship, I was still working through a lot of wounds that I had from my childhood, and listening to my mom complain about how my father was a piece of shit for not giving child support. And so having this burned into my subconscious that a man is a piece of shit if he's not making a ton of money. So I didn't know love languages, but my love language was work. So when my partners would be like, "Hey, like, are you gonna come to bed? Are you gonna, you don't love me? What's going on?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I'm working 18-hour days. We live in this
Like,
nice
I'm
house.
loving you, I'm
Yeah,
supporting you.
look at all this money that I have. You can do whatever you want." And and again, I had no masculine leadership, and it wasn't until I really started. One of my mentors that changed my life was G.S. Youngblood, and he wrote an amazing book called The Masculine in the Relationship. And I honestly think any woman or man here should buy that book for their partner or themselves. That book changed my entire life. I read it 6 times, and then I reached out to him, and he started mentoring me. And he really showed me and taught me, hey, this, like, what you're feeling over here, that's actually okay. What you're feeling over here, that's not actually you. That's actually conditioning from your parents and from your mom. And that's not actually what masculinity is. It's not about control, it's about freedom and structure and direction. And that really changed everything for me. But obviously, it was a little too late in that relationship dynamic. And so now, for me, is I feel like I've really done so much work on myself to be a man of value who has good, really understandings of all of that. And that, I feel like I am at a point where I am ready for my queen, my partner, my union to build with. But the interesting thing that I've had to navigate dating while building a business is, one, how do you balance that? Because it's obviously very important for men and women to get out on the dating scene and experience and grow in that capacity. And one of my, and it sounds so weird to say publicly, but being in a city, being young, being objectively rich, and I think I'm an objectively good looking man. And it's one of those things where when I would date, I would try to hide most of those parts of myself. I would try to not pick them up in a car, meet them somewhere. I would dress down a little bit. I wouldn't really talk about what I did. I didn't want to connect on social media because there is this lingering question of, oh, well, if you know what I do, if you know the money that I make, if you know kind of life I can provide you, is this even a genuine connection, or are you just putting up a front? And that's been something that has been really challenging for me in the dating scene, is connecting with somebody and thinking it's real, and then realizing, oh wait, it wasn't real, and then question your own intuition on, well, if I thought that was real and it wasn't, how do I know the next one? I don't know if you guys ever experienced that along the dating journey, but it's very challenging when you feel a real connection again the next time.
What do you mean by that? When you feel a real connection the next time.
So, like, one of my past relationships, you convince yourself, well, this is my person. Every ounce in my bone, in my soul, truth. Oh my God, I've been with this person for thousands of years. Our souls found each other, and then it doesn't work out. And you go, well, if I felt that as such a truth at a soul level, how could I trust that feeling ever again?
Yeah, I think that's the hard thing about love, right? It's like, I think one of those things that happens with love and relationships is that we learn that it always ends, whether it is an ending because either both or one person couldn't kind of find that next level of growth within them to continue allowing the relationship to thrive, or it was just the wrong timing. And I personally believe that, my experiences in polyamory is you can actually feel that with many people, and it takes a lot for a relationship to actually work, and also to open your heart back up to love again, because you can experience that grief and that loss, and then you question the love itself or the feeling itself or your own intuition or your own instincts. But ultimately, moving towards like self-forgiveness and reconnecting back into opening your heart and trusting love again and being available for it again is really kind of being available to go through the feelings of excitement, new relationship energy. This is so great. This is so good. Oh shit, these are some really intense triggers. These are some really intense things that we have to navigate. And then even in business, okay, I have to make space for this. I have to make space for my emotional process to happen. What if I have calls the whole next day and like we're going through some shit the night before? Like, what do I do and how do I navigate that stuff? And I think that it's natural for people to go through, especially in dating or like ending a relationships into the next one, to go through phases of restabilizing. It's like so natural to just want to feel stable, because sometimes a relationship destabilizes you, whether it's like the loss of it and the grief or uncovering your shadows.
Yeah, I mean, I would even argue you get destabilized in the beginning with the massive excitement phase. I think
Yeah.
it
Oh,
can
yeah.
be very easy to
Very
abandon,
true.
right? And I think that's probably a good segue into like the integration of the two that most people were asking us about, was like, how do you balance dating and building your business, or even being, and I'll cover the dating side, and then you guys can obviously cover the partnership side, because like I know for me, back in my day, it was like if I would date somebody new, there was all this excitement, and I would just throw my business to the side because I wanted to see them every day. I wanted to go take them out. I wanted to experience and be free, and then it would fizzle out very quickly, and I didn't understand why that was. So I'm curious on your end. We'll go with you guys first. Like, what have your challenges been? What have your struggles been, shadows been, et cetera, with building the business and the relationship at the same time? And how do you make both feel like a priority?
I mean, I just want to s touch on something. When Jeremy and I first started dating, I was, like I said, I was still working as a nurse. He didn't hang out with me Monday through Friday. He was like, put a hard boundary down. And again, with my like abandonment wounds, I was like, what is this motherfucker doing? Like, he's not trying to see me. So I was like working through my own shadows without projecting it on him, which I'm so surprised I didn't do, because I was like, I'm gonna push him away. I would like be having these like internal dialogues with myself. Why am I not enough? Why doesn't he want to spend time with me? And this whole time, he's building for us in our future. And it's like conversations we have now. And I'm just like, man, I wish I knew what you were doing back then, because I was just going through thinking I wasn't enough, feeling like I wasn't worthy. But really, that's what set us off and allowed him to build such a successful business. And now I see, now that I'm working with him in the business, that's been really helpful, because I'm able to have like a bird's eye view of everything that's going on. So like when he's stressed, I know it's not about me. I know it has nothing to do with me, and I can support him as his woman, either in business or just as like the feminine aspect in his life, and say, what do you need from me? Do you need me to take on some of the role in the business, or do you need me just a feminine? And usually it's the feminine. Usually you just need someone to like let it all out to and kind of melt into, and I'm there to support him. Like last night, he was kind of going through some like stresses, and he was just like scrolling on his phone, distracting. And I was like, can I give you a massage? And he was like, oh, okay. And I give him a massage, and he's like, I see him just like melt. And I'm like, you know, I can do this every single night to you. And he's like, what? I would hate to ask that of you. And I'm like, I enjoy this. Like, what made you think that I don't enjoy this? And it was this like, I mean, we constantly go through things all the time in relationships. I want to make sure that's like known, as like you don't really, and I'm sure Amanda can speak on this, is like you don't really hit a pinnacle in the relationship where you're like, oh, smooth sailings. It's like maybe for a little bit, for a season, until a trigger or a wound or something else comes up that you get to navigate together, and then you work through it. I do feel like our challenging seasons are way less intense and way shorter in frequency, but they still happen, and it's usually like an outside force, but we get to do it and handle it together.
So I have a question on this, maybe for both of you, because, and like, I want to ask this on behalf of men who maybe aren't, or like maybe not in as conscious of a relationship as you guys are, and still have that, we have the collective conversation around men not really being able to have emotions. Really not being able to have a man come to you and say, I'm so stressed today. I just need a place to really let this out, let myself be seen, and just kind of be held. And I think there's a big, big conversation around a lot of when we see, I mean, we see them going viral on social media all the time, which is so harmful to men, about women saying, like, that's not my job. Like, my man needs to be strong, he needs to be a rock, he needs to do these things. And to be a little bit vulnerable on my end, I mean, I have only had experiences where if I am not perfect and sound as a man, that I'm usually left. And that happened a lot in my life. And so I'm just hearing two true divine feminine's viewpoint on this. And maybe if you, from a feminine standpoint, can give advice to the masculine standpoint of maybe how they could open up a little bit more safely at first and what that would look like, I think that would be a really good conversation for our male listeners. Let's start with Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, I love this point that you brought up, because I absolutely think it's extremely harmful to men and to women to believe that the man always has to be in the strong role, right? And I think that we're so desperate for that divine feminine masculine union in our lives. And we misinterpret that as you have to be the divine masculine and I have to be the divine feminine, and it's separate. The truth is, in these situations, even just what Jax brought up, is we're constantly, when we're in divine union, we're constantly balancing our own inner masculine and feminine. And that looks like actively kind of being fluid in receiving and holding space. And there's going to be some seasons where a man absolutely needs you to hold the shit down and hold down the fort, because he's holding it down for everybody else. And he's being strong for you and for everybody else. And I think being able to be that and have that within yourself, where, yes, of course, like as the woman or as the feminine, you want to be like the little baby or like the dainty, or like, you know, you're taken care of all the time. And like, that can be true. And also, it's really important to be able to have that fluidity, because it's like we all have emotions. We all need a space to break down. We all need a space to be imperfect. And I always thought, you know, why does it have to be that I am just the one that gets to be like broken down and imperfect and in my thing and not my masculine partner? Like, why is that the case? And I love breaking that stuff down so much. And I think it's really powerful.
Jax, do you have
How about you, Jax?
Yeah, I mean, it makes me sad to hear, you know, like the toxic masculinity and kind of just breaking apart of what men should be and shouldn't be. And it's really like, you have to understand there's men have parts, all different parts, just as women have parts. So there's like an inner child in there, and there's a little boy that wants to be expressed and nurtured at times. And they're taking on, they're literally leading the family into battle, is essentially like what's going on in their psyche. So to not have safety when you need to literally unravel is awful to hear. So I think establishing safety with your partner first and foremost is like a foundational thing. And like I can attest to, I didn't offer Jeremy that safety in the beginning. And reflecting back, he wasn't offering it to me. So it's really like, what does safety look like to you? And I think having just that conversation, a very open dialogue with your partner, what does safety look like to you? How can I support you when you feel unsafe? Okay, what if both of us feel unsafe? Like going into like all of these different threads and nuances of things that are happening within your relationship, and how do you navigate that together? But diminishing a man when he is choosing to be so open and literally offering these parts of himself that he doesn't get to show the world because he doesn't feel safe, but he feels safe to his woman, and to have her shut down is really just a reflection of her lack of embodiment in the feminine.
That's amazing shares from both of you. And like, I'm just, you know, I think that I want to keep going on this topic for a little bit, because I think it is like super, super important. And even I work with a lot of men in my mastermind group, and a lot of them struggle with like these very big like self-worth wounds that come up with women and dating. And a lot of times when I'm working with male entrepreneurs, they're from a different culture that's like, I need nice clothes, I need to buy a watch, I need to have all of these things, because that's what really develops me as a man. And if I don't have these, no woman's really going to see me. And then, you know, that's also something that's pushed collectively now in society is, and I have like a duality approach to this, where I do believe the man should be the provider. I do. And I think that it's a very big privilege for the masculine to be able to step up and like prove to himself how powerful his creation is, and how a woman can be the spark that really ignites the fire inside of him to conquer the world and to climb those mountains and to do all of those things. But I think that there's this other side of it where we lose what that actually means from a safety and like a divine stance of a man pursuing his purpose versus a man having fuck you money, Lambos, cars, and stuff like that. And so people are kind of glamorizing this almost fuck boy culture and then wondering why, or wondering where all the good men are. And all the good men are over here trying to open up to you, and you're telling them that they're, you know, not enough. And then you're going to the guy with the fast car. And so I'm interested if you guys have recognized that, or maybe if you like have people that you even know personally that are struggling in that because of those dynamics or anything of that sort.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So growing up for me, my parents always set a really great example. But when they got divorced, I lived primarily with my mom, and she always taught me, like, be an independent woman. Don't rely on a man for money financially. Like, stuff happens. You know, I watched her after the divorce go back to school. She got a second degree. She wasn't the, like, they split providership in that sense. And my dad was still really present. But ultimately, that's the kind of messaging that I heard. So I was very ambitious. I really never fully let a man take care of me, nor did I chase those dynamics for myself, because that just wasn't the conditioning that I had necessarily. So in terms of people that struggle with that specifically, I have seen many people, I think, just try to navigate, okay, if I do want that type of relationship where maybe there is that providership, I think on a woman's perspective, I think what a lot of women are looking for is to feel safe, relaxed, and feminine. And I think that very often having that financial stability where they don't have to have all of that put on themselves. I remember for myself when I hit burnout and I had the opportunity to start a second business with two male business partners, I was like, great, like they can take the masculine role. That didn't happen. But it ended up being that I, you know, from my burnout place, from my place of, I don't know if I could be a CEO and have all of that on my shoulders and be able to actually be feminine, because I really didn't feel like I could. I lost a lot of my sense of pleasure. I lost a lot of my, that, like, my flow, my ability to be joyful, feel pleasure, all these things. So finding a way to integrate that, I think what a lot of women navigate is how can I have both? And I think something that happens is, how can I feel safe enough to trust someone, not just to take care of me financially, but also to not exploit that dynamic and manipulate that dynamic. And it does create an inherent power dynamic, right? Like the power dynamic of someone that has all of the financial resources. And what are we doing to create safety if I'm really going to submit to that? If I'm really going to allow myself to fully trust, I actually think it requires, and maybe Nick, you believe this, maybe it requires more integrity of the man or of the provider that is providing financially to be able to not only take care of the household, of the money, but also your partner's emotional state, your emotional needs. If maybe the dynamic in the beginning is like, oh, maybe I have to be perfect to continue being taken care of in this way, maybe there is that next level of trust that can happen when you recognize, like, okay, how can we both trust that we can both be authentic and still be in this relationship dynamic and not exploit the power dynamic?
Well, I think that, and then Jax, I still want to give this to you because I know you have great perspective on this, but like to answer your question on that, I think it's really about your way that you approach why you're providing things for the feminine as a masculine man, you know, and that's why I say it's a massive privilege. And that's always been the dynamic I enjoy, even when I date, you know, and I've dated a few people for a few months and stuff, like nothing seriously, but it's like, and I'll tell them, like, hey, like, with all love in my heart, just don't you dare try to pay for anything. It genuinely bothers me. It genuinely makes me upset. Like, I genuinely love to just take care of you. And so, like, I want you to know, if there's ever anything that I feel like I don't want to or I can't, I'll let you know. And there will never be a time I was out with a woman where the bill comes up and I say, even if joking, I will never say anything like, whoa, that's expensive, or geez, we really ate, because that is something that instantly is going to put guilt or shame on the feminine partner. And subconsciously, when men are doing that, they're trying to position themselves in a power dynamic of, geez, you're really expensive, and I'm having to inconvenience myself to take care of you. So therefore, now there's like this owe dynamic. You owe me something in return. And that's like
Well,
the
now
very,
it goes like this,
yes,
right?
yeah.
There's no equals anymore. When as
Right. There's
soon
no
as
more
that statement is
reciprocity.
said, it's like, yeah.
Yep, there's automatically this shift, and that's going to make any woman feel unsafe, and it's also going to make any man start to feel more powerful, because that's a subconscious play to get her to understand the power dynamic. There's something wrong with you, and I have to spend more money to accommodate you, and then that obviously is just going to keep going up and up and up, and that's when you get men who are like, you can't go out there. This is my house. I pay the bills. You're going to do what I say, and that's the opposite of masculinity. That really is, if we had to categorize toxic masculinity really is like ownership and control, versus divine masculine is more devotion, structure, and freedom, where I have the ability to provide all of this for you. Do with that as you please.
Yeah,
So
well, it's
I'd love to
really
hear.
just like being emotionally manipulating somebody by making those claims, and then that shift happens. And I see that a lot. I see that a lot. So, interestingly enough, for me, Jeremy and I split everything 50-50, not when we went on dates or anything, but we lived together and all of our bills were 50-50 up until like a year ago. And it was this like interesting thing. And that was before like the shifting of the polarities, where he was like, I want this boss babe. I want you to like work just as hard as me. And I was like, I'm trying. I'm really trying. But like, I get my period every month. And it's like these, like, you're up against these like very feminine emotions. And I'm very feminine. I'm very emotional. So it was like an uphill battle for me. And then we really hit this point where he decided, like, I need to take reins and take the ownership of being fully the supporter. And it was like very interesting for me. He was like, I want you to forego your businesses. I want you to work for me and I'm going to pay for everything. And then I was like, well, I don't know. Because then it's like, well, now I'm so like independent because I was paying for my own and I felt very prideful in that. And now he's willing to take this over. And I kind of was like, why now? Why not before? And it was kind of like an interesting dynamic that we had to uncover for a while. It took weeks for me to be like, okay. And then when I finally allowed it, it really shifted us into then equals. Because before it was more of like we were just like battling for who's the alpha in relationships. And like, I'm never gonna win, but I tried. Like, we would have times where I'd come downstairs and he'd be like, what are we having for dinner, babe? And I'd be like, I don't know, what are we having for dinner, babe? And I'm like, I still have to finish my calls. Like, I'd be like angry at him for even like asking me to be a woman. Like, it was not saying that you have to cook as a woman, but if you want to go there, we can go there.
Morning.
Trigger warning. I cook every night, by the way. So it's just like a difference in dynamics. I personally have never been someone that has gone after somebody with money. Jeremy didn't have money when I met him, so I don't really have like a lot to speak on that. Like, his money was made with me in the relationship. So, but I and none of my friends I've really seen that either. So I don't have a lot to say in regards to that. But I know there's a lot of women that don't do anything and their husband just takes care of them, which I'm sure probably looks glamorous and sounds great. But I can assure you that's a lonely life.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like, obviously, Jeremy and I have a lot of similarities on our life path and everything, because that was also the dynamic I used to have with my partnerships as well, was 50-50, split it all. And that was more of like I need to hold you accountable to make sure that you're growing in your business. And it wasn't out of malice. It wasn't out of any ill intention, other than, if I pay for everything, then you're just going to stop growing as a person. And that's such an ignorant stance to have on like feminine evolution, right? Like, if you're not grinding the same way that I'm grinding as a man, then you're not growing as a person. And that is very weird. That's just a very weird stance to have. And I think that there is a healing portion of the masculine that he needs to go through to kind of get that wider view perspective of, well, women don't actually grow the same way that men grow. Men are really made to conquer, to climb the mountains, and not to put gender roles or anything, but the man is the mission and the woman is, taking care of him and serving underneath that mission
Submission,
and the home and all of that. And that is, people think that that's like a lower level scale to be on in the relationship, and it is equally as important. And I think that is what people are really having a hard time. Like the word submit is such a trigger word because people don't understand the definition of submission when it comes to a relationship dynamic. And I would love to hear, because I know Jax, like that's basically like the thing that you just described with you and Jeremy. So I would love to hear your stance and Amanda, yours as well, obviously, on what does it actually mean from a conscious divine space to be in submission to your partner, and how does that actually benefit the dynamic?
Yeah, and it's this isn't like dom sub. It's very different. This is someone has a mission, and then you're sub the mission. You're submission to them. So I think that word kind of trips people up. And when I became submission to my husband's mission, literally like the clouds cleared and everything fell into alignment for us. Now, again, I don't want to project my life choices on anyone. I'm just speaking on what it did for us in the sense of polarity and the sense of our relationship dynamic and the healing it did. But Jeremy got to step into this leading role of the masculine that I think he always wanted but didn't know what that looked like. And for him asking me to be in the like more masculine role where he really wanted me to like make as much money as me, really what he ultimately said that was fear that he would never reach his goals and in his mission. So once he realized like, oh, I actually am already here. I don't need you to try to make as much money as me. I want you to join forces with me and I want us to live out this mission together. And I very much am in alignment with his mission. It aligns with me perfectly. So it was an easy transition for me to become submissive to my husband and his mission.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is actually a thought process that I used to go through as well. And I want to touch on that is, you know, I think a lot of men do this where, you know, the man's making 10, 20,000 a month. And he's like, well, you should be making 10, $20,000 a month. 'Cause really what he's saying is, I don't feel like I have the capacity to make 40. So I'm hoping my partner will come in and like pick up the slack. And a lot of times I hear a lot of men talk about like, oh, like a partner, so I have two incomes. I'm like, can you imagine looking for a divine partner because you want a second income in your life? That's probably going to get you the exact opposite. But yeah, I just want to know that that's a very common dynamic that I see men when they're trying to like push their woman to be super successful entrepreneur. And I think people taking a step back and really auditing, what is my deep, like, what's the deeper reason why I desire that in the first place? And usually it's an answer that most people don't want to admit. But I mean, I want to spike it back to you on the submission aspect.
I mean, I love what you shared, Jax. I think it's really interesting because in our relationship dynamic. So I guess in the beginning of our relationship, John was really going through a transition in his business where he hadn't yet created the business that he now has, which is a marketing agency. They do really well, and he has communication coaching clients. And I have had my own business for a while. I still have my own business, love having my own business. And I was going through burnout at the time. So we were navigating, okay, like we're still kind of two individuals figuring out our individual money stuff. And over time, we started one product together. So we're not completely in business together in the sense where, okay, I am in his business, serving his business and his mission, but our household together, as we came closer and closer into divine union, we have a shared mission. We have like shared energy, like our household mission, although it's not specifically its own LLC necessarily, but like in terms of this past year, I went through another season of a little bit of burnout. I was going through my own thing. And for the first time in my life, John started taking care of us financially in terms of like certain bills, not necessarily everything. I still had to pay my team and have money come in through my company for taking care of that side of the company things. But in terms of our household stuff, is my first time in my life where he was like, I've got it. Like you're good. Like you can actually relax. And I was like, my nervous system was like, okay, like I don't think this is, I don't understand. Like I've never had this before. And like, you know, it goes against my household conditioning. So relaxing into that, there was such a gift to that. And it was this first time in my life where I really got to experience that kind of trust in him, that trust in his leadership, that trust that he's got it, that he can hold it, that he can, you know, manage things for us. And we've had for the last 5 years of our relationship, there was a period where like my business kind of helped him out a little bit when he was figuring out his thing, and then it switched. So I think that moving forward, we're talking about kids in the next couple of years. So we're really
Yay.
starting to think about that. And our household mindset is what's the best, most beneficial path for both of us? Like, as a mom, I obviously want to take time off. I want to be able to have my business running more seamlessly. So I'm really focusing on optimizing, streamlining, really getting systems dialed in. I want to be able to show up with my child and my family and trust that John's going to hold down the fort for all of the things that my business will not be able to provide. So in that trust in him, that submission to him is really being able to trust that he's showing up as his best self regularly. And it shows up in little ways where we both help each other be better, but not in the same way. For him, seeing me be better is, I want you to feel relaxed. I want you to stop stressing so much. I want you to feel like yourself. Like, it hurts me, it pains me to see you in stress and in this and that. So he tries to find ways to support me to be more feminine or to be more relaxed, because that's ultimately the role that I'm going to need to occupy when I become a mom and really focus on that. And then with him, there's little moments of like, okay, what are you doing here? And how are you thinking about this? He's like, I've thought about it. Like, don't worry. But also, here's the information. So we're always kind of, I'm watching us like check each other a little bit to just, it's almost like this preparation mode into parenthood.
Amazing. And so I think really, if we look at this for people listening who are in a relationship and they have, the woman is still kind of like in hustle mode, or maybe there's women listening to this right now saying, well, shoot, if I'm in a relationship and I'm still wanting to build my business, does that mean I'm not in submission to my man? And I think
No.
the real dichotomy there is want versus need. You build your business because you want to and you enjoy it, not because you feel like you need to do it for your survival. And I think that really is the energetic difference in the relationship dynamic, which is, again, like, that's why I like to provide all of that now. I want my woman to build a business because she just wants to and it's fun for her, not because she says, if I don't do this, we cannot eat, or I cannot have the things that I need to have this life. And so to go a little bit further, now talking about mask fem polarities, relationships, business, and all of this, we know that when the masculine is fully in his role, he's pursuing his purpose. That is his number one, that's his mission, that's his focus. That shifts him into his highest self of the masculine, purpose-driven, providing all that. So for the feminine, maybe feminine who are single or currently in a relationship, maybe a newer relationship or not a fully like conscious or serious relationship, that are still stuck in the fact of, I do need to be building this business right now. So because I'm building that business right now and I have to kind of be a little bit more masculine, how do I attract my counterpart if I'm not in the energy that I want to be in? And I would love to hear your guys' stance on that. Let's start with Jax.
Oh, so I mean, life is a balance. You cannot just work all day long. You have to take action if you want to be successful as an entrepreneur. In anything you do, you have to take action, and you have to learn when to turn off and how to turn off. If you are never checking in with your body, getting into your body, you don't know if it's breaking down, you don't know if it's yelling at you. So you have to spend time doing something self-care. For me, I work Monday through Friday. I take off Wednesdays now. And I still, every month, I have massages every other week. It's scheduled. It's on there. It's scheduled. I know I'm going to get someone to rub my body, Jeremy too. We have back-to-back couples massage. Then I have a facial once a month. Like, I have all of these little things that deem enjoyable to me that make me fall into my body that I put on my schedule, and I do not waver from them. So I think making sure that you're conscious about, and if you're like, oh, I don't have the money for that, Jax, that sounds great to do that. It's like, okay, meditation's free. Putting on some theta waves is free. I mean, you might have to pay for Spotify or Apple Music, but $9.99, I'll Venmo you. Like, just put it on, receive it, and check in with yourself. Like, literally just check in with yourself. And it's like, these things are brief moments of joy that you get to come back into yourself, because business is very outward, right? There's a lot of action that you're taking. The mission is to serve others. So when are you serving yourself? So making the time to serve yourself is really important.
So to ask a spin-off question for that, something that I always kind of like teach my students is that your internal state of well-being is your highest priority, because that's obviously going to put you in this business there. But what it sounds like from you is that for them to kind of still be building their business at further survival for what they want to
Yeah.
achieve, the way that they can kind of ease back into their feminine is by scheduling out times to kind of find what that internal joy is where they're shut off. And so that could look like meditating, maybe taking a day off and going to the park or
Dancing, get in your
dancing.
body.
Yeah,
Dancing,
right.
yeah.
Something in some embodiment practice physically that's bringing them joy would be how this current businesswoman could relax back into her feminine and kind of give that recharge time back into that energy.
Yeah, and if you're
Yeah, cool.
connecting with a man and you're looking to call in a masculine man, don't come from the energy of work. Like something that Jeremy and I did when I was working was at the end of my workday, I would spend at least like 5, 10 minutes by myself down regulating. So I'm not coming downstairs in this like hyper
Yeah.
masculine energy that no one wants to be around, not even myself. So it'd be like come back into like my own energetic state. So if you're single and you're dating and you're building a business and you're like, well, I have to, that's great. There's nothing wrong with having a business. That's amazing. I love that for you. And make sure that you're connecting back to yourself. So when you're meeting a man, it's not from you wearing like the business hat, it's you wearing your own authentic hat. It's you.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And just from a male perspective in the dating scene, I can tell you that there's nothing more unattractive than a woman who's coming to dinner. Yeah, chest bumping me, doing a
Let's
bit.
talk business.
Yeah, to me, I love being on a date where a woman is just fully relaxed, and she's just, when a woman's fully relaxed, my God, I don't have to say a word. She's talking the whole damn date. And I love it. No, I love it so much. But when she's in her masculine, it's very like straight. It's two men talking, basically. And
She's
it's like,
checking out. She's like make like
yeah, it's like,
waiting
what do
for
you want to talk
something.
about? Nothing. Me neither. Let's get another drink. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think that as a woman in business myself, that's also similar to you, Jax, just inherently incredibly feminine, but also building a business every single day, doing the work. Something that I've learned that has been so important to me is to honor the cycles of my body, learn about your menstrual cycle, learn
Amen.
about what you need in each season, honor the fact that you are a cyclical being. Something I teach in one of my programs is you have to have just as much energy restoration and input as you do output. And often we have like 90% output and then 10% input, and then we wonder why we're so stressed all the time. So one time I had this conversation that I'm remembering right now with a friend of mine, and she runs a seven-figure business, and I was still in my burnout phase. I was like, how does it happen? I feel like the stress is never going to end. It's always going to be more stress, more stress. And she's like, yeah, that's true. So why don't you start? I forget exactly what she said, but the sentiment was, why don't you start experiencing more pleasure throughout the day? If the stress is always going to be there, why are you letting the whole day be stressful? And that just completely blew my mind. And what I started practicing was actually every single moment in your business can also be an opportunity for more pleasure, for more enjoyment. It doesn't have to be so stressful. I remember even I was doing somatic therapy one time, and my therapist was like, if you're in the camera like this, you're really outputting your energy, but like lean back. Like just lean back and like be in your power, like strong spine and soft belly, soft heart. Like, can you soften your energy? Even when you're on a call with a client, even when you're like giving them really profound insight. But this is a much more powerful stance to me than it is to like give someone information like this. So I think that even in the micro moments of the day, it doesn't even have to be the massage. Like, yes, it absolutely should be the massage, the vacation, the frequent time off, the weekends off, the midday break. Like, I watch TV in the middle of the day all the time. It's one of my favorite things to do. I also lay outside and like I get my nature and my sun and my water and I do all the things, walks, like conversation. I do all the things. But even just while I'm working is can I like soften my whole nervous system so I'm not outputting so much stress all the time?
I want to touch on like, sorry, Nick, I just want
No,
to just
please.
kind of continue what she said is bring your senses into everything that you're doing. So that's really how you bring presence into it. So even when you're working, you're like I'm grabbing, sure, it's water, but if I have lemon tea, it's like, oh, it's watermelon tasting. And it's like these little moments that you can like find pockets of joy throughout your day that really fill you up instead of just like chugging my water, writing, taking my notes, doing my thing, shutting the computer. It's like, slow down in your day to day and really allowing yourself to like enjoy life in everything. Like, why are you doing business? If you are burning out or if you are feeling so stressed all the time, like that's a mirror for you to reflect. Like, how can you bring more joy into your life? How can you bring more presence? How can you slow down a little bit more? Doesn't mean that you have to like slow down in your business growth. It just means like in the day to day, can you slow down?
Yeah, I love that. I think my thought here, one, is how do we balance all of that and a relationship now, right?
Here we are.
So here
question
we are.
Of the hour.
Yeah. Did we not talk about that yet?
Oh yeah, we forget to talk about that this entire time. So how, and for me, I just give my answer. Like I'm very masculine. I'm very straightforward. And it's like, write it down, you know, like that's really the, but I mean, time block.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from this time to this time, this is what I'm doing. Thursday, this is what I'm doing. Friday, this one, Saturday and Sunday. And I think so many people have resistance to that because they think if they provide structure, it means that they're in prison. There is so much freedom that exists inside of structure. And every single time I have a client, I'm stressed out. I don't know what to do. I don't have time for anything. I go, show me your time block. And they go, oh, I don't have it. Go, oh, it's crazy, isn't it? And so for me, like my genuine answer is like, how do you build a business, run a successful business and still date? It's like, I know exactly when my days start and end. I know exactly what pockets of time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that I have blocked off for work and that I have open for play. So I could easily have a conversation with a woman and say, hey, are you free Friday night? Because I already know I am, because that's how I've built my schedule and it's consistent. So for me, when people say, how do you balance work, life, and relationships? It's like, well, the reason that I'm able to do that is because I don't bullshit when I'm working. When I work, it's time blocked and I am so focused. I don't do anything else. I don't work on this thing while having a YouTube video up, while scrolling on Instagram, while making a meal. I'm present. I'm doing the things necessary. So that way, when I do have that time off, which is necessary for men as well, I can actually be present and enjoy myself. And 20 minutes of presence with somebody is worth a week of being unconscious with them. And that's the kind of thing that I don't think people understand. So I'm curious on your guys' stance of how you prioritize that. Let's start with Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. I'll add some more to it, but I know exactly what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, when I have free time, what my boundaries are. And that got built over time, right? It didn't just pop out of nowhere. You have to build and understand, well, what do I need to do? How long does it take for me to do it? What is my energetic output? And what do I need to prioritize for myself so I can really show up in this relationship? And then you can close the loops and you can close it and actually really be present. So I love that you said that. And it's funny, people ask John and I all the time, I don't even have time for one relationship. How do you have time for more than one person and travel and all this stuff? And again, it really is logistics, scheduling. But in terms of other things that are in a relationship, sometimes you get into emotional challenges that can really affect you, you know, throughout your day. It can be really difficult to be going through, like maybe you didn't complete an argument with your partner and then you have to focus on work the whole day. I know for myself, whenever I'm kind of emotional and then I have a client call, it actually kind of helps, to be honest, and focusing on solving somebody else's problems and taking a little bit of space for my own helps. But something that I've found really important in terms of a skill that's really necessary is having hard conversations and knowing how to have them so they don't drag out so long that you either are cycling through the same conversation over and over and you're not getting that either like repair from the rupture that happens in the conversation. And you can also be extremely inefficient in having conversations. Something I found, just, you know, in terms of entrepreneurship, we're always looking for efficiencies and inefficiencies. But when you're in a conversation with your partner and you are going to say something that you know hurts them or that you've already decided, like, that doesn't work for how we have conversations, I think to myself, this is going to add probably another 2 hours of processing to our time if I say this thing. So, like, why should I do that? And it doesn't always happen that easily in the moment. You have to learn these things, but it's a really important thing to just learn how to resolve conflicts, how to close the loops in completion and see, okay, do you feel complete? What else do you need to feel safe? How else can I show up for you? What else can I apologize for? Was there anything that I said in the argument that you still are carrying energy into? Because I'm an extremely energetic person. I will feel any little thing within myself, my partner as well. He's also, we're also just, you know, very attuned to each other. We're like, something's up. What do you need? And we can feel it, and it affects our energy all day if we don't talk about it, if we don't move through it, if we don't process it.
How do you guys now, or actually, Jax, you got that question next, but the
I
side,
got it.
a sub question for Amanda here is, the thing that comes up to me when you were talking about that is I feel like what, okay, let's say the people listening right now that go, yeah, that sounds great for you guys to be able to sit down, close the loop, but I'm an anxious attachment style. My partner's super avoidant and we'll never really talk about anything. And I'm curious if you guys have struggled in that dynamic.
Look who's
I mean, I
ours.
used to be a crazy anxious attachment style. I mean, I would be sick to my stomach the
Yeah,
second
same.
we fought. And I'd basically be holding her leg, like, please, can we say sorry?
Yep,
I
no.
couldn't function,
Me
you know?
too.
And I really
Yeah,
was
absolutely.
the guy that would just, I would text. I would look at the text, I would wait, my phone would go off. Is it them? And I would just be in turmoil until I heard from my partners or the women that I was dating. And so I'm curious how
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean, when I say like, close the loop of the conversation, that is something we can do now after 5 years of working on ourselves in therapy and building that secure attachment. Both of us having our own issues with anxious and avoidant. We weren't, neither one of us were like more anxious or avoidant. We both had anxious and avoidant tendencies, and he would sometimes be more avoidant, but then be more anxious and kind of vice versa. So there wasn't necessarily a huge, like, this was the anxious one, this was the avoidant one. But we both had those tendencies. And I had a tendency, my nervous system response was to go into shutdown mode. And he has abandonment stuff from childhood. So that would be really difficult. So maybe I would be more avoidant sometimes. He'd be more anxious. But then there would be times I'd be anxious and avoidant. So I can say, absolutely. I think most couples are, when they're getting into the nitty-gritty of their childhood trauma, their attachment styles, their early caregiver wounding, and how that manifests in relationships, it's going to show up. And you're going to have to learn together not only just how do we talk about it, how do we heal? How do we actually give the other person the remedy they need to feel safe? And that's what divine union actually looks like, is you recognizing, oh, this avoidant or this anxious tendency is, I feel it all over my body. Nick, like you said, like I feel it so deeply because it comes from trauma and it comes from like this anchoring in the nervous system. But what would a person need to not just continue perpetuating the anxious avoidant and not heal it, but give like the healing remedy, like the wisdom in anxious attachment. So it is creating reassurance and safety, but also, what's the word I'm looking for? Encouraging autonomy and not codependency. So how do you feel safe as an individual so I can have my space? But also, how can I give you the reassurance you need while also you helping me have the space that I need? And that's what happens.
Just so I can try to like bundle it up for like an actionable takeaway from somebody. So would you say like maybe a good conversation for them to have in that is like, say I'm an anxious, say you and I are in a dynamic and you're avoidant and I'm anxious. Could I potentially bring something in the terms of, hey, I know you need some space to process right now. Is there any way we can put like a timing on this of how long
Timers are helpful.
going to take and when we can revisit this? So that way I at least know that, well, there's another conversation and you're just not gonna leave me. Is
Yes.
that
Yeah. Something like
cool?
that is like really helpful. So both people have a need that needs to get met in that moment.
That.
The avoidant person needs space. The anxious person needs the opposite of space. So, and it's really difficult, I think, in that dynamic because the avoidant person will generally feel like the one in more control because they're just going to avoid, and the anxious person's always going to be anxious. But if both people can be in their consciousness about it, Be like, okay, I recognize that you're anxious and I recognize that I'm avoidant and we're both in a trigger. The trigger is happening and our trauma response is trauma responding. So, how do we support each other in this moment? Having that, the anxious person say, I want to honor your need for time. I'm going to do my best to process on my own and I'm going to practice processing individually so you can have your time, but I need you to give me a time frame. I need you to give me clarity so I am not going to spiral. And when you're in a relationship, I think one of the most beautiful things is overcoming your survival pattern to support the other person's survival pattern and overcoming theirs so
Beautiful.
it actually clears.
Beautifully said. Jax, I would love to send this your
Let's
way.
hear it, girl.
Yeah, I mean, I was
Expert.
anxious attachment, so I'm like, yes, this is very familiar. When Jeremy and I
Forming.
chose to heal our attachment styles and to come into more secure attachment and really interconnectedness is what I like to call it, is exactly what Amanda said. You both have a need that needs to be met. So what I would do is I would declare out loud, I'm like, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling like you're going to leave and abandon me. I know that's not true. I know that's not happening, but that it feels very familiar in my body. Can you just tell me you love me and you're not going anywhere and take space? And you go, of course. So, I mean, we don't need to do it anymore, to be honest with you. We're like past that point. We don't really take space anymore. I'm like, no, we're talking. Come on, come on. Called forward. Like it's like one of those things. So,
Right.
but when we were working through it, he would just say, I love you. I'm not leaving you. I just need to take space. And I'd be like, okay. And it doesn't just necessarily take
Yeah.
away the anxiousness, but it takes off the edge a little bit just to know he needs that space. And with the space, he comes back with a whole new energy that you actually want to connect with. It's not the energy of like if you're forcing someone to finish the loop, close the loop, have the conversation when they need space, you're not going to get the energy. You're going to get something that you don't want. So really like allow them to have it. And unfortunately, as the anxious attachment style person, the other person generally wins because the space is needed for you to come together to heal that. So it's really like you have to come into like your own self-regulation at that time. And it's okay to express the need. It's okay. So one, you have to understand what is the need. You feel like you're being abandoned, right? It feels very familiar. You're not, but it feels like that. So expressing like, can you just kind of calm me down, like maybe a quick hug or tell me you love me, that you're not leaving, and you can take the space. And it's like, oh, then everybody wins, right? And then you come back into the union and you're able to have a clearer conversation with cleaner energetics and there's not leaks going on.
Yeah, I think that's so well said. So I mean, I really think we can just put a period at the end of that one. But now, Jax, I would love to hear your stance on like balancing the business relationship, how to make time and prioritize. We'll go back to like just to
Yeah.
refresh, like Amanda and I were talking about like time blocking and
Yeah,
that. So.
that took quite a bit for me to figure out. And because I'm inherently feminine, I was like trying to avoid the masculine, but the masculine is really what allowed me to be feminine. So structure. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, and I'm an entrepreneur. I also drive my son 3 hours to and from school the days I have him. And I still get so much done. I cook lunch Monday through Friday. I cook dinner Monday through Thursday. And I plan that every Sunday. And it's not that I'm like cooking, like it could be a leftover, but I know exactly the food we have. I Instacart everything on Sunday. I know exactly the ingredients I need and what I'm making. And I do it. And sometimes it's kind of like, damn, like kind of like pat myself on the shoulder at the end of the week. And then every Friday we go out to eat. So like when we're finished this, we'll go out to eat as a family because we always have my son on Fridays. So it's like that, like I get to like, oh, I get to be taken care of and get to step out of the, not that I'm not feminine, obviously I get to be feminine, but I get to receive more than kind of giving all the time. But the structure, when I didn't have the structure, it was more of like, why can't I never get things done? And I was like so upset about it. And Jeremy's like, what are we having for dinner? And I'd like be like, oh shoot, I forgot to put the meat in the fridge. I'm like, I'm gonna have
Yeah.
to go get us a meal and bring it home. And it like after a while, he was like, there's gotta be something you can figure out to like not forget. And I came up with the system every Sunday of like creating the structure for the week. And then the night before the next day, I plan my outfit is out. If I'm going to the gym, my gym outfit's out. I know exactly who I'm having calls with. I know exactly what we're eating. All the food's in the fridge from the freezer. Like everything is done. It just saves me so much time, bandwidth, energy that I don't need to leak out. Because again, I could be I could totally complain and be like, I drive 3 hours. What do you like complain about? And it's like, no, this is how we've set up our life. It's like, so I have to make do with the hours that I have, and I'm damn good at it, but it came with adding that structure, that masculine, so I can really be in my feminine, and it's
I think
chef's kiss.
I think that right there, it's like beautifully said. I think that right there is the dichotomy that a lot of the feminine spiritual coaches lack, is there's such a rebellion against structure, because they're like,
Out.
oh, it's like, oh, I'm so feminine, I can't be masculine, it doesn't exist. And really, like speaking to true divine feminines here. Feminine,
Femin no, feminine would be
like
single.
cactus. It's kind
Sorry.
of
Cactus
divine
eye. I'll
feminine.
have to Google that one.
I just made that.
Feminese. Feminese. There
That is what
you
it
go.
is now. It's like Chinese. Anyways, okay. So it's talking to two women who are divine feminine. I think what like I recognize is that the women who still have this almost structure rebellion against the masculine because they're feminine, to me, it's not even really a feminine thing. It's more of a childish thing.
That
And so
immature.
it's like
Yeah.
you have this immature, like teenage feminine energy that you're
Yeah.
exonerating.
Yeah.
And you're convincing yourself in the world that you're a divine feminine, and really structure is what brings the divine feminine
100%.
out. So
Ooh, yeah.
resisting structure is actually resisting your own divine feminine, and that might be a mirror in itself to reflect on and say, why am I afraid? You say, I'm afraid of structure, but really you're afraid of your true divine self.
Boom. Ooh. Ooh.
I would love to speak to that because I've definitely had that experience after I hit burnout. I had my own structural rebellion phase, and I really took it as this phase of needing to learn. I'm also like my voice might go at any second. We'll see. But really needing to learn how to be in my feminine and trust my own inner masculine. There was like an internal lack of self-trust. That my own rebellion from myself was, oh, if I'm in control of my own structure, I will put too much on my plate, and then I will have to abandon my own pleasure and feelings of safety and relaxation in order to have the structure. So the rebellion was against structure, business, schedules, whatever. I was like, oh, I just don't want things on my schedule for a while. I also think that there was like yes, an inner younger feminine, but like an inner teenager, I think, phase as well that was really needing some healing. And I think that after putting so much on my plate and trusting myself and getting so overwhelmed and having that internal trust kind of broken, that's where the rebellion began. So yeah, I think it is like an immaturity, but it's also like a lack of trust or like a rupture in your own self-trust that can happen where you really learn and lean on your inner feminine. And you're like, okay, I really like this freedom. And it actually feels really fucking nice. Like, there was a season in my business where I wasn't making a lot of money because I was rebelling against it because I also had way too much on my plate still, even though I wasn't making a lot because I had the second business and whatever. But I loved it. It was nice. It was kind of like, I have a lot of fun time to travel and do this, and that. But ultimately, it wasn't my highest self version. It wasn't the life that I wanted to live. There were times where I like let myself be in the full freedom, but most of the other time I was really stressed because I didn't have the structure. So bringing it back was learning how to trust myself all over again. And I needed to learn, okay, how can I add structure back in and honor my body, honor my nervous system, not go too hard too fast, not put too much on my plate. Not be in that kind of eager, like, let me build really fast because that was my pattern before. So I think it's a self-trust thing as well.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have something to add, Jax, or were you
No,
just
I was just like, yeah,
okay,
just here for
cool. So I
it.
think just
Yeah.
to like kind of wrap this whole amazing conversation up, I think my desire for us is to leave both the men and the women listening to this with just maybe like one or two more action steps to be able to just start navigating the balance of building the business and building the relationship to get it to that divine consciousness space. And so my question for you guys, when I'm kind of looking at this from the men's stance, and then maybe you guys can just give it from the female stance. And so, for men, I feel like we have a tendency to just want to put our nose to the grindstone and work all day, every day, and then we end up not working at all. And I would just love to hear just like real quick from you guys, how simplistic, but how meaningful is it for a man building his business if he were to just carve out one date night per week?
I
So
mean, it
meaningful,
everything.
you know?
It's everything. That
Right.
presence pouring into the feminine, what the
Yeah.
feminine can do for the man. I was
Yes.
working with this practitioner, and she basically said, like, Jeremy grinds his gears, and you're the lube that makes it all flow. And I was like, oh, I like that.
I'm
That
the
hit.
lube.
I'm the
Yes.
lube. I'm
I'm
the lube. I like
the
that.
lube. We're
But
gonna
it's
make
really
this.
like
Be
the
the
feminine.
lube.
Not that the feminine doesn't need much, but I think that we can. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I can handle a lot more, in my opinion, on my plate than Jeremy. Jeremy's like single
Well,
focused. We talked about this last time.
that's masculine,
It's
yeah.
the masculine. He's single focused. He's hunting. He's abiding by the mission. He's doing it. And I'm like helping in the mission. And I'm also doing this. I'm also doing this. I'm also doing this. And like, which like is great. And like, just give me a little bit of love. Just give me a little
Yeah,
bit of
right.
love that I can just pour into me, and I will make sure that your life runs beautifully. But you have to be present. You have to show your woman presence.
Right. So, okay. So, for the men listening, I think an amazing place to start is one. This is for everybody, men and women. Amazing place to start is time block. Number one, write down exactly what you do, exactly
Big
what
time
time.
blocker. Do
Yeah.
not disturb. Do not disturb. Don't turn it off when your time is on.
I agree. So
Great.
let's figure out what time you wake up, what time you go to bed, and within 30-minute increments, what you're doing throughout all of those days, and how long does it actually take for you to get your done work done for the week? I think that's like number one to establish because for me, I do a lot of one-on-one calls with my students, but I've made the promise to myself that I'm going to sacrifice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for calls. And so they are brutal days for me. I'm talking 10, 11 hours nonstop, no breaks sometimes. And because I do that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I have so much flexibility in my schedule to detach, live my life, work on other projects, and just really have this reset. And that's what works really well for me. But so, okay, so for men, time block, carve out one date night per week with your woman, and then maybe even just one additional night where you guys hang out and you're just fully present watching a movie or something, I think.
Check-ins are really good.
Yeah,
Just a
check-in's really
quick
good.
check-in of like, what was something positive about your day? What was something challenging about your day? How can I support you?
Yeah, I think having that, and
Oh
this is
yeah.
something that I've spoken with some of my women friends with their partners, is that there's just no depth in conversation. So a lot
Yeah.
of times the man will walk in, how was your day? She's like, good.
Yeah.
So I think actually stopping
Nice.
to be present with your woman
Give me
and
some.
saying, yeah, right. Hey, like my day was really good. It was a little stressful. This came up, learning to navigate this, and I got to do this later this week, but that'll be fine. How was your
I
day?
might do that like multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
Yeah. And
like
so I think it's just establishing a little bit more presence and just having a little bit more intent, maybe just having more presence and intention with every interaction with your partner. I think goes a long way outside of, having to spend all of this time together. So from a feminine standpoint, what is something that the feminine can start doing to balance their business and their relationship dynamic? Let's do one if they're already in a relationship and one if maybe they're single and looking to date.
Yeah, I love that. I think something that I love to teach is abundant energy cycles. So, what does a cycle of work look like that actually allows you to have an abundance of energy rather than leading you towards burnout? And ultimately, that just looks like in between your execution, you have breaks. You have an energy, I call it just an energy restoration break. And so many people don't even think about that. But if you think about maybe an energy rest, like maybe you have, your time block is like you've got two creative blocks in the morning. Maybe you have your morning workout, creative block one, 10-minute break, creative block two, and then maybe it's calls or whatever, but like an hour break if you can, 30-minute, 15-minute, whatever you can actually do. I generally need a little bit of a longer break if I've outputted. And then I will typically have like a second wind in the evening and get some stuff done in the evening, but I have like a more relaxed downtime type of thing. But I think the other thing beyond abundant energy cycles and just adding in energy restoration throughout your week, maybe you have like Wednesday morning, you like take fully off or something like that because you've worked really hard Monday, Tuesday, whatever. The other thing, I talked about this at your mastermind that I spoke at, Nick. Systems are your best friend as a woman. Systems are so fucking feminine. I used to like reject systems. I was like, it's not feminine. It's really masculine to make a system. And sometimes it feels like that when you're like, okay, tech, what's like the, it's logic. It's creating if this, then that. If this happens, then this happens, then this happens. And you have to think a system through from point A to point B. But once it's done, I mean, nothing is completely passive, but you are just saving yourself so much fucking time by not having to do everything manually over and over and over and reinventing the wheel and like not actually solidifying anything. You're wasting your precious sacred energy. Like you're gonna be stressed all the time, tired all the time. So systems are feminine. Quote me.
Quote me. Mic drop.
Jax.
For me, just getting outside, even if it's a brief moment, if it's sunny, added bonus. If it's not, you get the fresh air. Take a moment to be outside just to kind of like it just is like that change of scenery just does something. I literally will pop outside. Even if I like, I'm like, oh no, I have 3 minutes until my next call. I will literally get my ass outside and just like get up in the sun. And it just that like supercharge,
Yes.
take a couple deep breaths. I'm like, all right, I feel like a completely different person than if I'm like, I'm just gonna sit here and wait 3 minutes because my life sucks and like I have to sit here. It's like, no, you get to create your life. Remember, as an entrepreneur, yes, there's a lot of space you can give yourself, but if you don't have that space, like what can you fill in those small pockets of time that fill you up? For me, it's sun, sunshine, outside, fresh air. That just does something for me.
Amazing. Okay, so my just final quick question to wrap this up is what's an actionable thing that women can do to maybe support the relationship dynamic with their partner while they're building their business as well?
Yeah, I think like we were talking about depositing into the love bucket is something that John and I think about all the time is how can I not just give, but like show up in a way where I'm considering what their love language is, what do they need to feel supported? And the more connected you can be, the more like deposits, we call it credit. Like the more credit you have, the more leeway you give each other, the more you can trust each other, it decreases, I think, either the frequency of conflicts or at least the intensity of them when you have a lot of credit built up with one another. So really think about how can I support and love on my person? What do they need to feel loved? John and I ask each other, what can I do for you today? How can I make you feel loved today? At least twice a day.
So
And
good.
that's just something that we do, and it continues to give that love bucket, and it's overflowing all the time.
I love that. I'm stealing that one.
Yes.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Jack, what is your actionable take?
I would say trust the masculine. If he's building a business, you have to trust that he's building it for you and your family. So you have to understand that it can't be all about you right now. Not that it's going to always be about you, but you have to understand that that business is what's going to foundationally create the life that you're looking to probably have with your partner that he's building. So if he's in a building phase, trusting your partner and just literally be there to support him. I really loved what Amanda touched on is like pouring into him. So asking him like, what do you need from me? How can I support you? Really just like simply asking your partner that. I think we like to make assumptions or like, oh, he doesn't need anything. He's like working all the time. He never has time for me. And it's like, get out of your own way, get out of your own head, stop making it about you. Asking your partner, what can I do to support you? I see that you're really working hard. I see that you're building for our family. What can I do to support you in this mission?
Yeah, I'll just like add my final touch on this before we add off. Just like as a man, something that I've actually never had in a relationship dynamic. I've never had a woman like come to my mission and say like, "I'm proud of you. I support you. You're crushing it. You're doing like." I've never had that ever. Never experienced that in a partner. And I can tell you as a man, that's like the number one thing that would make me feel absolutely incredible for my partner. And so for women here is it's something as simple as just going up to your man at the end of his day and just saying like, "Baby, I'm so proud of how hard you're working. I can see it. And I can't wait to see what you build if you keep this momentum up. I believe in you." Those little things, they don't, I know like we say the feminine responds better to praise and the masculine responds better to challenge, but men respond so well when their
A
partner
woman,
praises them. Yes.
Yeah, I see that. I offer Jeremy like gratitude all the time. I'm like, thank you so much for this life you've built for us. Like, just like these random times that, I mean, I've said it so many times, but it always lands for him. It always lands. Just to be reminded,
Agreed.
I don't want to ever feel like I'm taking it for granted, like that I'm selfish in any way. I'm grateful every single day. And I think having that reminder to your partner, just like Nick said, does a number.
It does something to a man. It
Yeah.
changes.
Yeah.
It does. And then so like if you have a man who's struggling right now, I can almost promise you him hearing any of those words, I'm proud of you, I believe in you, et cetera, will change him as a man. I can guarantee it. So
Yeah.
that's I think that's a just a good place for us to drop it. It's been about 2 hour
Totally.
conversation. Amanda Jackson, thank you guys so much. This was such an incredible conversation. You guys have both been on my podcast before. I will obviously put the links to your guys' social platforms in the show notes. If there's a final goodbye you want to say, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Just thank
No, I
you
think
for having me and
yep.
really appreciate meeting Amanda and listening to her perspective and getting clarity on that and just being open to other perspective and still having your own is really powerful. So make sure you're checking in when somebody has an opposite viewpoint of you. I think it's really important to know that you could be in your own way. It's okay if someone has a different lifestyle choice. Doesn't mean that you have to have the same choice, but do you have to be ignorant or rude to them because they have a different opposing viewpoint? So just want to drop that one.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And Nick, I'm just excited you introduced me to Jack. So thank you for that. And
Pleasure.
I
We're
loved
not
this
dating. We're
conversation.
dating.
No, kidding. New friends,
Yeah.
but just really loved this conversation. I think that every single nugget, every single moment of it was really profound. So I hope that everybody gets a lot out of it.
Yeah. All right. If you guys have made it this far in the podcast, do us a favor. Take a screenshot, tag myself, Jackson, Amanda on socials. We would love to connect with you. Let us know what part of the podcast resonated the most for you. You know, share it. Let your audience know that you're listening to these types of things, doing some work on yourself and trying to expand yourself in a relationship standpoint. Let them know that you're awesome, basically. If you guys have been here for this long, thank you so much. We appreciate you, and we'll catch you in the next episode.